Brilliant. Well, morning, everyone. Morning. Thank you so much. It's great to be with you. We haven't been blown away yet. We still make it home safe and sound, hopefully. But before we start, can we read just Acts 2:42 together? Just to remind us, so you've been going through this series of devoted to, and Acts 2:42 says this. It says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. There we go. It's a very short verse. But this morning we're looking at devoted to prayer. And I don't know about you, but even just reading that passage, reading what they were devoted to, reading about them being devoted to prayer, that leaves me already feeling immensely challenged. I don't know about you, about how devoted I am to prayer. I guess for most Christians, there's always a sense in which we think that we can pray more, that we long in some sense to be people who are more devoted in prayer, like we see the early church was in Acts. But you know, there are so many things in life, aren't there, that stop us from being people devoted to prayer, aren't they? There are times where we can see a prayer is almost this giant wall, can't we? This giant wall that we kind of have to get over, and it requires this effort and this energy. And sometimes we just don't want to require the effort to get over it, especially if it's been at the end of a long day. We're tired at the start of the day, and we're just getting up. It can feel like a wall to get over. We find it hard to get started. Sometimes we just don't know what to pray. You know, we sit down to pray and maybe our minds go blank with thoughts and words that we want to bring before God. Maybe we can get discouraged, maybe not seeing answers to prayer, you know, that we would love to see. And so we think, well, why be devoted to prayer when it seems like nothing happens when I do? We can even settle into an attitude, I know, sometimes of, you know, prayer being for the desperate times. That I'll speak to God when I need God, when I need God something to do, I need him to do something that I just can't do on our own. But you know, ultimately, as I was thinking, I know myself, one of the biggest reasons stopping me from being devoted to prayer, stopping me from praying, is that sometimes I just don't want to pray. There lacks that joy, there lacks that passion that allows me to pray and to keep on praying. Dare I say, at other times, other things seem way more enjoyable on the surface of things. It looks like other things will be more enjoyable and more interesting. And so I begin to see prayer as something that I should do rather than something that I get to do. Something I should do rather than something I get to do. And that's what I want us to go away with this morning. I want us to go away seeing not just prayer as something that's commanded, not just something that's boring or this sort of cold ritual that we perform, but I want us to see prayer as the most glorious, the most incredible privilege we could imagine. I want us to see the privilege of prayer, the wonder of it, the power of it, the beauty of it, the joy in it. Of being in this relationship with our Father in heaven who wants us to enjoy and to take hold of this opportunity of coming before him, drawing near to him in prayer. Because, you know, it was striking me this week as I was thinking that I'm never going to be someone devoted to prayer unless I cherish the privilege and find my joy in it. And that's what I want us to see this morning. And this morning I've got three P's. Hopefully they'll be easy to kind of remember and take home. Three P's. And the first one is to see the privilege of prayer. You know, a few years ago, when I was a younger teenager, this will mean nothing. You'll find me very weird, young people, that I enjoyed this. But a few years ago, I was at a wedding at the Houses of Parliament. And it's not a bad place to have a wedding, right? And I was helping actually set up for this wedding. And there's a chapel in the House of Parliament, and there are reception rooms elsewhere. And I was helping set up, and I was actually given access to to walk around Parliament. You know, I couldn't quite believe it, but I was a young teenager able to just walk up and down the corridors of power. And I remember I was quite young. I was fascinated with politics. I was weird like that, but I loved it. And I couldn't believe where I was. I couldn't believe the access that I'd been given. I remember one time I got to a place in Parliament called Central Lobby. You'll know of Parliament. That's at the centre of things. It's right at the heart of Parliament. And I remember walking back from one of the reception rooms by myself, and I got to Central Lobby. I stood there. There was a huge chandelier. And I looked to my left and I looked to my right, and there was no one there. No one. I looked down one hallway and there was the House of Commons with the green benches and the Speaker's chair. I looked down the other hallway and there was a House of Lords with the red benches and the Queen's throne. And there I was, standing right at the centre of things, like the heart of power and authority of our country. And I'd been given access to be there. I felt an enormous sense of privilege. And you know, when we speak of being able to pray, actually we enjoy the privilege of access. You know, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19, it says, "Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is his body." That's the incredible news this morning, that as followers of Jesus, we have been given the privilege of access. And not just to a parliament building, we have been given access to the most holy place, the place of God's presence. And that's what we're doing as we're praying. We are coming before and drawing near to our God. We are experiencing the joy of access to God himself. I'm entering the most holy place, speaking to the most holy God. And you know, some of my friends and some people that I know that aren't Christians, who don't come along to church, they might hear me say that and think that's a pretty arrogant thing to say. How can you, Dan, say that you can come into the presence of God, you can speak to God, and that God would hear you? How can you say that? But you know, I love that verse in Hebrews because it tells us the reason why we can have confidence to draw near, why we can come before our God in prayer. It says, we have confidence to enter the most holy place, says, by the blood of Jesus. And you know, that is so important for us to remind ourselves that actually prayer is not a human right. Prayer is a privilege. It is a gift to us, paid for by what Jesus has done on the cross, that cross that removes our sin that is our wrong, the way that we have treated God, that brings full forgiveness. Jesus, by his blood, by his sacrifice, he makes a way for us to be able to draw near to a holy God. That's what it is. Jesus has made a way for us to gain access. And so prayer, well, it's a blood-bought privilege to us this morning. Jesus took nails that we might be forgiven, yes. He took nails on that cross that we might have life after death, yes. But he also died that we might have access to God in prayer, that we might be able to draw near to him anytime, anywhere. The privilege of prayer. And you know, I must think for those people in the early church in Acts who were devoting themselves to Acts, how incredible this must have been. You know, they saw that temple and they saw the curtain that hung there, that barrier, that sign separating the people from the presence of God. And yet, through what Jesus has done, he has made a way to enjoy access to God in prayer, the incredible privilege. And so no wonder they were devoted to it. What a privilege that Jesus has made a way for us to come before our God. And therefore, it begins to change so much of my attitude towards the way I look at prayer. I think especially I grew up in a Christian home, going along to church on a Sunday. Do you know, prayer was something very normal to me, maybe to some of you. I kind of have this growing sense of danger that, yeah, oh, prayer, I know that. Yeah, I can speak to God anytime. And that's great. But, you know, we miss sometimes the incredible privilege of prayer, that we can speak with the God that has made us. And, you know, it's been great this week to be thinking about this theme of prayer. And actually, every time that I've come to pray, just to stop and to reflect on what I'm about to do, that I'm about to speak to the God that has made me, that Jesus, he suffered, he died, he rose again, that I might be able to draw near to God and speak with him in prayer. And, you know, the more I've cherished that fact, the more I've thought about it, you know, it's not a surprise, the more I've wanted to do it, the more it's been my joy to enjoy this access to God himself in prayer. But the second P this morning I want to think about is the power of prayer. The power of prayer. You know, it's really no surprise that if prayer is speaking to the God who has created the universe, who spoke everything into existence, who sustains and holds all things together, every atom and molecule God holds in his hand, he knows the end from the beginning. Well, it's no surprise that when we speak to him, amazing things happen. We see answers to prayer. You know, throughout the Bible, it tells us that there is remarkable power in prayer. Paul in Ephesians 3, he writes to this church in Ephesus, and he says in chapter 3, verse 16, he writes out his prayer for the church. He says, "I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith." He says, "And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God." That's Paul's prayer that he writes out for this church. It's a remarkable prayer, isn't it? It's a wonderful prayer. It's a big prayer. It says that you might just be able to comprehend how much Jesus loves you. And, you know, Paul then, in the very next verse, gives his reason for why he prays such a big prayer. Verse 20, he says, "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." Do you know, Paul, he knows that his prayers don't go to a God who is weak and unable to do anything. He prays to the one who is able to do more than all we could ask or imagine. He knows the power of prayer. And he also writes, I thought, in his letter to the Philippian church, in Philippians 1, verse 20, Paul writes this. He says, "Yes, and I will continue to rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and God's provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance." Paul, he knows that this Philippian church, these Christians, are praying for him. And because he knows that they're praying for him, well, he expects God to answer their prayers. He expects God to answer. He expects God to be at work. And finally, in James chapter 5, verse 16, a wonderful verse, James says, "The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective." James says there is power in prayer. And so again, it's no wonder that we find that one of the things that the early church was devoted to is prayer. It's a privilege, but also because there is power in prayer. Things happen when we pray. You know, back at Oak Hall Church, where I'm from and attend, I remember I grew up there and I was having a conversation with an older guy who I really look up to. He's been an amazing godly example to me, done amazing things for Jesus and for his kingdom. And I was having a conversation with him about prayer. And, you know, he said to me, he said, "I'm convinced we don't pray because we're not convinced of the power of prayer." He said to me, he said, "If only we knew what happens when we pray, the ways in which God answers. And you know, of all the people I know, he would probably be one of the people most devoted to prayer. And no wonder, because his life has been one of praying and seeing answers to prayer. And I'm sure that this morning we can all share stories, ways in which God has answered, whether big or small, whether in ways we expected or more likely in the ways that we didn't expect. And you know, one other person that I've read about that I know lived devoted to prayer, you might know a man called George Muller. He lived in the 1800s over in Bristol, and he set up these orphanages to look after children who were out on the streets. And he said many things about prayer. One of the quotes he said, "I live in a spirit of prayer. I pray as I walk about, I pray as I lie down, and as I rise up, and the answers are always coming to me." And you know, there's a story that someone recorded of one morning, and it goes like this. It said, "One morning, all the plates and cups and bowls on the table were empty. There was no food in the larder, and there was no money to buy food. The children were standing, waiting for their morning meal, when Muller said, 'Children, you know we must be in time for school.' Then lifting up his hands, he prayed, 'Dear Father, we thank thee for what thou art going to give us to eat.' There was a knock at the door. The baker stood there and said, 'Mr. Muller, I couldn't sleep last night. Somehow, I felt you didn't have bread for breakfast, and the Lord wanted me to send you some. So I got up at 2 a.m. and baked some fresh bread, and I brought it.' Mr. Muller thanked the baker, and no sooner had he left, there was a second knock at the door. It was the milkman. He announced that his milk cart had just broken down right in front of the orphanage, and he would like to give the children his cans of fresh milk so that he could empty his wagon and repair it." George Muller knew the power of prayer, and he was devoted to it. And you know, this morning we might be thinking here this morning, well, yeah, that's great for George Muller. He saw incredible answers to prayer. But prayer is hard when we don't see answers to it, isn't it? It maybe doesn't look powerful when we're in situations that don't change. We're seemingly left waiting on God to act. And we become discouraged, maybe, to pray. And you are reminded of something that Spurgeon said. He said, "If ever I feel disinclined to pray, then is the time I need to pray more than ever." To trust and to pray, knowing that God is in control, knowing that God is working, knowing that God does hear, and God will answer in his way. There is power in prayer. But thirdly and finally this morning, a persistence in prayer. A persistence in prayer. You know, I was thinking in my own prayer life, so often at the time I pray into a situation once and then never again. Or I start the day off in prayer, and then that's it for the rest of the day. And it hardly builds up a picture of being devoted. You know, Paul in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16, he says, "Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Paul says, pray continually. In other versions, it says, pray without ceasing. Be persistent in prayer. Keep praying. Don't stop praying. And you know, I remember reading this verse and I thought, how can anyone do that? How can anyone pray without ceasing? Pray continually. Be persistent in prayer. You know, I find it hard to pray for 10 minutes, let alone continually. And yet I noticed in that verse that Paul, he squeezes that encouragement to pray continually in between two other encouragements. Because firstly, he says, rejoice always. Then he says, pray continually. And then afterwards, he says, give thanks in all circumstances. See, Paul's prayers, they were soaked in praise and thanksgiving. Almost like Paul looked around at everything that was going on around him. He looked at his present experience and he was seeing all the ways in which he could praise God for, all the ways that he could give thanks to him. And you know, when we start speaking about praising God, giving thanks to God, and letting that be fuel for our prayers, well, it's no wonder that Paul is unceasing in prayer. It's no wonder that the early church were devoted to prayer. Because why? Well, isn't there so much to praise God for? There is just a huge list, a huge amount, an unending list to praise God for. And you know, that's true even when life is tough, isn't it? Even when life is hard, and on the surface of things, maybe it doesn't look like there's a lot to thank God for. You know, Paul, that I've read from, who's written a lot of the letters in the New Testament. Do you know, most of his letters were written inside of a jail cell. It didn't look good for him. For the early church, they were devoted to prayer, and yet they were persecuted maliciously all the time. And yet their prayers are full of praise. Do you know, in Acts 16, later on in the book, it tells the story of Paul and Silas. And in verse 23 of Acts chapter 16, it says, after they, Paul and Silas, they'd been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison. And the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. When he received these orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, it says, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. And you know, I found that so encouraging, so helpful, as I think about being persistent, devoted in prayer. I know at the start I mentioned that one of the struggles we can often face is not knowing what to pray. Words maybe don't come easy to us. And yet the greatest key Paul shows us to be devoted to prayer, to be persistent in it, is to let them be soaked in praise and thanksgiving. Paul, again in Philippians 4 verse 6, he says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And you know, whenever I think about whatever situation we're in, you know, we do have so much to praise God for, and it's incredibly humbling. When we think about all that the Lord Jesus has done for us, all that he is, all that he has given to us as his people this morning, all that he offers, that none of us deserve God's love for the way that we have treated him and we've rejected him. God's love has been made known to us in Jesus. And he's made that way for us to be right with him. He's made that way to be forgiven, to be in relationship with him, to know the hope of eternal life with him one day for all those that would choose to trust in what he's done for them. That offer is available for anyone. And when we start thinking about all that Jesus has done, even just that, well, it means that I can be unceasing and persistent in praise, no matter what my circumstances look like. We have so much to praise God for, and even when prayers don't seem to be answered, we're left waiting, and we struggle to see the way in which God is working. Do you know, we know that God is good, don't we? We know that he's in control, and in knowing Jesus, we have an unshakable hope through it all in what he's done for us. And so I hope this morning, I hope we've seen the complete and utter privilege of prayer. I hope we've seen the power of prayer to him who is able to do more than we could ask or imagine. I hope we see how we can be persistent in prayer, letting praise soak our prayers in all that Jesus has done for us. And therefore, I hope this morning we go from here cherishing an opportunity to pray. That we go from here longing to draw near to our God, to speak to him, to praise him, to come before him, laying all that is on our hearts.
It is the most glorious, the most amazing privilege that we have this morning to be able to come before God in prayer, to be devoted to it. That has been my prayer. Lord, help me to be more devoted, to draw near to you, to speak with you, all because of what the Lord Jesus has done. Well, should we do that now? Our Lord Jesus, we recognize this morning that we come to you, we draw near to you only through what you have done for us on that cross, that you have made a way for us unholy people to be made holy in your sight. We have had all of our sin, our wrong removed by your work on the cross, and therefore we have confidence this morning to enter the most holy place, to speak with you, our God. And we pray, Lord Jesus, that as we go from here into this week, that you would, by your Spirit, allow us to see the joy and the privilege of prayer, that you would shape us to be more devoted, to be unceasing in prayer, speaking with you, our God. We thank you so much that we can come before you. We can lay all that is on our hearts, and we know that you hear us. We know you hear us because we pray in Jesus' name. And we thank you so much. We worship you, Lord Jesus. Amen.